Hi, this is Gerald Celente, and it's Trends This Week. And of course, another wild week, and a lot of significant things happened. Not big news items, but things worth looking at and understanding. And among them, this beginning of the week, was the resignation of Prime Minister of Ukraine. You may remember him. Yeah. Mr. Yatsenyuk. Yeah, Yatsenyuk. And if you go back to when the United States and its European allies were planning the overthrow of the Yanukovych government, they tapped into a cell phone conversation between our Assistant Secretary of State, Victoria Nuland, and our ambassador to Ukraine, Jeffrey Pyatt. And it's that famous cell phone conversation where she tells Pyatt that, quote, Yats is the guy. Yeah, Yatsenyuk. They call him the rabbit. If you ever saw this guy, you'd know why. A little nothing of a boy. There's some videos and some uprisings over there in the Ukraine parliament, and he just gets pushed around and can't fight back. Anyway, he resigned. And it's important because we're looking at the destruction of Ukraine in front of us. And again, you go back and you put in, all you have to do is go on YouTube or Google it up and put Victoria Nuland, and you'll see a lot of damaging information coming from her and the United States. And one of them is a presentation of hers at the Washington Press Club. And in that presentation, prior to the overthrow of the government by the United States, it's December 13th, 2013. And it's the Washington Press Club. Well, you could get it on YouTube. It's put in Victoria Nuland, N-U-L-A-N-D. And there she is saying that the best course for Ukraine is to follow the one set forth by the International Monetary Fund. And what happened was that Russia made them a better deal than the IMF, that I like to call the International Mafia Federation. And this was all going on, and it's very important. The dates are very essential because, I mentioned, this is December 13th, 2013, and that's the beginning, just about to begin, the Sochi Olympics in Russia. And if you go back to that time and you see how propaganda works, they were saying things like, you know, watch out for that toothpaste bomber, you know, if you're going to fly to Sochi, and the Black Widow bomber, and the terrorists, and how the Russians are homophobes. And when they building the site, and after it was completed, they'd make fun of the hotel rooms, and the water was yellow, and they were shooting stray dogs, and on and on and on. And by the time the Sochi Olympics began, American anti-Russian sentiments were at 1992 highs. The propaganda worked. And then, of course, there was the overthrow. So it's important because now with Yats gone and Poroshenko now also indicted with those Panama Papers, those papers that were released and they were hacked about a legal firm in Panama that sets up offshore accounts for people that want to hide their dough. And Poroshenko, of course, is a billionaire. Made his money in chocolate. Anyway, who knows what else? So now he's not under investigation so much, but there's a lot of discontent in Ukraine. His popularity rating from when he won the election with 53% is now down below 20%. Ukraine is in a severe depression, not a recession, a depression. I'm mentioning all of this because when all else fails, they take you to war. So watch for uprisings to begin to occur again between West Ukraine, that's been propped up by the United States and Germany and the European allies, and Russia, East Russian separatists that don't want to become a part of the Kiev government. It's been on hold right now because of peace talks, but with the Poroshenko government dissolving, riots increasing throughout Ukraine, we're forecasting that it's going to reignite very, very shortly. And of course, the United States will blame Russia. They will not blame the corrupt government that they put in place. What a record the United States has of propping up dictators, huh? You like the ones down there in Honduras? Guatemala was a beautiful place before they destroyed that back in the 50s. One country after another. One failure after another. One military intervention after another that destroys nations, slaughters millions of innocent children, women, and men, and destabilizes regions. Well, they've done it again in Ukraine. And of course, what barely makes the news in the United States was the referendum that was held this past Sunday by the Dutch. And they voted 61-38 rejecting an EU-Ukraine association agreement. And this is the agreement that Victoria Nuland and tried to push down their throat and did. And she also says, by the way, at that press conference, that the United States had invested $5 billion. That's right, the United States. We the people, we the little people, whose money they take from us to do these dirty deals, to put in these non-governmental organizations and other CIA-operative-sponsored kind of groups to overthrow nations. So here she says it. And that they did this, and nobody is no outrage for the disaster it's created. And Victoria Nuland, her husband, is the infamous neocon, Robert Kagan. And Nuland, remember, she's appointed by Obama, worked under Hillary Clinton. She also worked for Dick Cheney. So there's really no difference between the Democrats and the Republicans. They both have plenty of blood on their hands. Going back to this Dutch vote, again, 61% rejected it. Only 31 supported in EU-Ukraine association. Although the voter turnout was low, nonetheless, the government of the Netherlands said that they would abide by the vote. This is another destabilizing factor in what's going on in Ukraine, because now they're going to have difficulty getting more money from the IMF. And it's also interesting how this Dutch vote came about. There's a satirical group that got enough signatures to hold a referendum on this. So it was done outside the political parties. And this is the new age of the internet really putting itself to work in a way that gives the voice of the people a freedom that we don't have with the prostitute media, six companies controlling 90% of all of the media that we've lost. And you can see the power of it. Again, this was done by a satirical group. And now, in order for these agreements to come to pass, the entire EU group has to vote in favor of it. And now you're going to have a dissenting vote. Kiev won't get their money. And there's another important element of this. And that is, to me, and again, you know the motto of the Trends Research Institute and the Trends Journal, think for yourself. To me, direct democracy is the only path to true freedom. In these days of multinational takeovers, it's fascism, a merger of state and corporate powers running governments. We don't have a representative form of government. They only represent the people that pay them the most amount of money. I mean, let's grow up about this. They vote in favor of those that favor them the most. So direct democracy is working in different countries. Switzerland, for example, you know, that's their major way of passing through major legislation. Direct democracy. And look at Switzerland as a model. What is it, one of the richest nations in the world? They haven't been at war since about 1850. It's a beautiful place to go. You may like it or not like it. High standard of living. The people vote. You don't know who the president of Switzerland is. Who cares? These little clowns that call themselves commander-in-chief. Now take a break, man. Go fight the war and then call yourself commander-in-chief. Commander-in-chief. Dictator-in-chief. So when you look at direct democracy in action, you can see it working. But matter of fact, that's one of the platforms of our Occupy Peace program. That Congress has not voted to go to war, since World War II. They vote to give the power to the president. That's not the way this Constitution was written. It's against the Constitution. They're making this stuff up. So what do you have? We the people pay for the war with our money and our lives. You think if we had a vote to go to war against Iraq, we would have gone to war? Or Libya, as our Peace Prize winning president sent us to, without even asking Congress, and destroying one of the most prosperous nations in Africa? They weren't a threat to the United States. They were a threat to nobody. But, oh, Presidente did what he wanted. If we had a vote for that, being that that cost us several billion dollars, an estimated 30,000 people were killed, much of a nation destroyed, if they had a referendum where we voted on that to tell Congress how to vote, you think we would have gone to war there or Syria or what we're doing in Yemen? So let the people vote. And it's also important, I'm noting this, because coming up on June 23rd, they're going to have that Brexit vote. And that, of course, is whether or not Britain is going to exit from the European Union. And this vote now that happened in the Netherlands is very encouraging for those that want to vote their way out of the European Union. And direct democracy, of course, we think about it. And when we mention the word democracy, of course, we think about Greece. And, you know, they had a referendum a number of years ago, whether or not, about 2 years ago, whether or not to take the bailout that was offered to them by the IMF, the World Bank, and the European Central Bank. And the majority of the people, over 60%, voted no, we don't want it. We don't want those austerity measures. But the fascist government in place, which likes to call themselves liberals, the Syriza party, they told the people to go, hey, we don't care what you think or what you want. So here's a place where the seeds of democracy were really sown, and it was taken away from the people. It killed democracy as well. Very sad. But going back to the British vote, this is a very important one. Also, Cameron, the Prime Minister, now is under attack. You know why. Well, his daddy, who passed on, also set up one of those offshore accounts with that that they found with those Panama Papers. And this, again, these Panama Papers are interesting in a number of ways. First of all, the corporations are doing that all the time. They're setting up all these offshore accounts. And now we're seeing individuals doing it. But this is only one law firm. And you have all of these people involved in it. And they're not releasing all the information either. They're just releasing selective information. So you have all these people, individuals washing their money in these offshore accounts. And what's not being taken into consideration are all the other ones, you know, from all these other law firms that the rich people are washing the dough. And so what it is, it's a neo-feudal society. When you have a lot of money, you could wash it and you don't have to pay as much taxes. Well, we the little people have to live by the letter of the law. And again, in the United States, all you have to go is to that loophole state, Delaware. Yeah, they're the famous one. You remember Joe Biden, yeah, the vice president. What a joke it is, these vice presidents. What do they do? Other than this guy going around the world, you know, in the lap of luxury with his own giant jet and BSing about nothing. Every time this guy opens his mouth, it's a lot of garbage spills out of it. One failure after another, Vice President. Yeah, we need a Dan Quayle back. Anyway, going back to Cameron and the Brexit, the British exit. If Britain exits the Eurozone, that could be the end of it because it's falling apart already, particularly as a result of the refugee crises. You know, that crisis caused by our commanders in chief that nobody talks about. Why are people escaping Iraq? Why are they escaping Afghanistan? Why are they escaping Syria? Why are they escaping Libya? Because of the wars and the bombs that go with it and the bullets that have destroyed their lives and their families. So they're looking for safe haven. And this migrant crisis, on top of that, the migrant crisis being caused by people leaving countries where their economies are falling apart, particularly in Africa, Nigeria being one of them. I believe Nigeria is the largest country in Africa, and they rely on oil as their major export. And of course, with oil prices floating in the 40 range, down from 115 in June of 2014, you know, their economy is going down the tubes. So the people are leaving. And by the way, when Gaddafi was running Libya, he wasn't allowing them to leave through Libya. But now, of course, he's gone and they're flooding through. And then the Yemen war, of course, that's killed, now it's up to about 7,000 civilians, but doesn't make the news when they're killed. and has destroyed the poorest nation in the Middle East. They're leaving as well. So that's the migrant crisis on top of the refugee crisis flooding into Europe, destabilizing Europe as it is right now. This Eurogroup exit is going to be also fostered, if it happens, as a result of the migrant-slash-refugee crises. And again, it's important to distinguish between the two, because they keep putting down the words as though they're the same, and they're not. And on, as we look at this, with the Ukraine vote in the Netherlands, the Dutch vote coming up, you're going to start seeing more and more calls for direct democracy. And that's our call. We want direct democracy. We at the Trends Journal, Trends Research Institute, we have been proponents of it. We've written about it. To us, it's the only way to freedom. And then people will give us the back line. Well, you know, you're going to have the average person go out there and vote. What do they know? What do the politicians know? Show me the successes from what they've done. Education? Oh, it's brilliant. The taxes that we pay for education, for a garbage school system, junk, from sea to shining sea. If we had any kind of school system at all that was worth the money we were putting in it, you think we'd have the problems that we have today? It all starts with the brain, and we're brain dead. Look at the environment. What a disgusting spectacle. Environmental Protection Agency. What a joke. A report just came out yesterday. Audit. EPA lacks guarding drinking water from energy waste. The Federal Review has faulted the United States Environmental Protection Agency for not adequately safeguarding drinking water supplies from the increasing amount of wastewater generated by the oil and gas industries, which ramped up production over the last 15 years or so. You could stop the story right there and say the reason is because the oil and gas industries bought off the politicians to put pressure on the bureaucrats that work for EPA, and the EPA and all these other so-called agencies are run by a load of political hacks, lowlives, that could care less about we the people and only want to enrich themselves and their power-hungry little people. So tell me what the government is doing so well. Oh, the wars. Oh, the beautiful wars. The military hasn't won a war since World War II, and they got this bad, arrogant attitude. Salute, sir. Yeah, I got a salute for you. No, you're not protecting me. You are making my life more dangerous by going into foreign nations, killing the people, and occupying them. Could you add that up, or is your brain too small? Name me another agency. Oh, the FDA. Oh, yes. No, they don't. No, they're great. Yeah. What did they bring in now? A guy, I believe Gary Noah is talking about it. That's a tool to the drug industry and has been paid by them. Direct democracy, unless you believe in these other people. Yeah, you love those GMOs, don't you? They go down so easy. Yeah, and yet bovine growth hormone that just makes those cows put out more. Yeah. Yeah, it's great for big business. Terrific. That was a Bill Clinton one. GMOs. And, of course, bovine growth hormones. I wonder if Bernie voted for that. Nobody's talking about that one on the campaign trail. So, direct democracy, as I see it, is the way out in a new direction. Now, some economic news going on. You saw the spike in oil prices over the last couple of weeks. And it's really all based upon the belief that they're going to have a meeting. It's going to begin on Sunday in Qatar. And the OPEC nations and other nations, the oil producers, are going to be there. And they're going to talk about putting a cap on oil production. I just mentioned the EPA lax in guarding drinking water from energy waste and the amount of energy we're generating out of this country. So when you look at that and really look at the numbers, you know, by 2020, we'll be producing more gas and oil out of the United States than either Saudi Arabia or Russia, which are the two of the biggest producers. So I'm mentioning this because the crude prices of oil are going up on the belief that they're going to have an agreement, particularly between Russia and Saudi Arabia, to cut back oil production, or hold it as it is. I shouldn't say cut back, to hold it at the current level. Here's the deal. There's way too much supply and not enough demand. Even if they hold production at where it is now, there's an estimated 2 million barrels a day extra flooding the market. You're looking at the stockpiles in the United States at record highs. They don't know where to put this stuff anymore. The point that I'm making, if oil prices now roughly between 44 and 42, Brent and West Texas respectively, if oil prices go up, that rig count that's way down, that goes back up. In other words, they start producing again. So what we're saying is that when the prices go up, even more supply is going to go on the market, but demand will not have increased enough to take in the extra supply. So this to us is just a temporary boost. And of course, the markets are moving much higher, and there is a number of reasons for it. And of course, they like to tie it to oil. But let's look at some of the reports that just came out. Just this Monday, the World Bank warned that the economic slowdown that's ripping through China, well, it'll hit other economies in East Asia very hard, and they're looking up until 2018. And remember when the Federal Reserve just a few weeks ago announced that they were not going to raise interest rates because they were concerned about the spillover effects that China would have in its slowdown on the world markets. I was talking about the migrant crisis. The migrant crisis is coming about because of a slowdown in demand for raw materials from China. And China absorbs about 40 to 45% of like copper and aluminum and iron ore. And with their economy down from where it was and imports slowing dramatically, they're not, these resource-rich countries aren't exporting. So their people are exporting themselves, looking for other jobs. And it's not only in Africa, by the way. I mean, just look what's going to happen down in Chile. If they rely on copper, copper prices are soft compared to where they were. And Brazil, and Venezuela. Venezuela is ready to explode. Whew, the problems that they have over there, plus a drought. And drought conditions sweeping much of Africa now as well. So, in going back to the markets and why they're going up when they should be going down. And here's the quote from the World Bank. Quote, developing East Asia and Pacific faces elevated risks, including weaker than expected recovery in high-income economies and a faster than expected slowdown in China. That was on Monday. Last week, the International Monetary Fund wrote, quote, "The impact of shocks to China's fundamentals on global financial markets is expected to grow stronger and wider over time." And then just this week, the IMF warned, quote, "A flight from riskier assets could spark disruptive declines in asset prices and currency values, generating contagion effects and harming growth further." What the IMF was warning was that these negative and zero interest rate policies that generated massive piles of government and corporate debt, particularly in emerging markets, and inflated them so much, as well as developed nations, is going to result in a wave of defaults when the Federal Reserve finally raises interest rates, because all that money was borrowed in dollars. Their currencies are declining. The cheaper their currency gets, the more their currencies they need to pay back the debt. And when the dollar goes higher, their currencies go lower, the debt burden becomes heavier. So those are the facts. There's no reason for the markets to go up based on the fundamentals. And of course, some of the other fundamentals are that the earnings season right now is underway. And the projections are for an 8 to 9% decline in profits from S&P companies in the first quarter. Now, and that's very significant because there was also a decline last year. So the price-earning ratio for stocks is way out of balance because these companies aren't earning. They're losing. They're in a decline. And then you had, just yesterday, the news from the National Federation of Independent Businesses that small business confidence fell to 92.6 last month. That's the lowest level since 2014. But more significantly, it's well off the 42-year average of 98. Remember, it's at 92.6. The 42-year average is 98. So, why is the markets going up? Excuse me. They're going up because of negative interest rates, zero interest rate policy, and low interest rate policy. Stock buybacks in the United States, companies buying back their own stock because they're borrowing money for nothing, is at about $60 billion a month. The other one, of course, is merger and acquisition activity. These companies buy out other companies, they're borrowing money for nothing, and they keep driving stock prices higher. So the fundamentals of the economy are clearly not sound. Meanwhile, today, gold isn't shining very brightly, but, you know, it's had a pretty good run so far at 1247, and doing a lot better than a lot of the other commodities. And our forecast is that gold has to break up to about 1400 an ounce before it takes off. And when that happens, when it hits 1400, goes a little bit above that, stabilizes in that area for a while, well, then you're really going to start seeing it take off. And we believe that's going to happen because at some point, this Ponzi scheme of pumping up these markets is going to end. And you don't have to believe me. A little while ago, Richard Fisher, the former president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, recently said, quote, We injected cocaine and heroin into the system, end quote. And that he meant that to juice the markets up during a financial crisis. End quote. Now we are maintaining it with Ritalin. There you go. That's from the Dallas, former Dallas Federal Reserve Bank president, calling this monetary fix doses of cocaine and heroin. So what happens when you stop giving junk to the junkie? It crashes. And at some point, we're going to see and hear that crash. And that's why I'm bullish on gold. And of course, I do not provide financial advice. I'm only a trend forecaster. And that's what we forecast. So as we're looking ahead and seeing what's going on around the world, it's people always ask me, you know, what are my favorite forecasts for profitability and growth? And unfortunately, there's a dark side to it because it's clean food and clean water. We're talking about China. This is a headline story in Tuesday's New York Times. Rural water, not city smog, may be China's pollution nightmare. More than 80% of the water from underground wells used by farms, factories, and households across the heavily populated plains of China is unfit for drinking or bathing because of contamination from industry and farming, according to new statistics that were reported by Chinese media on Monday. Think about it. I just read you that article about our EPA not taking care of our water supply. Look what's going on, what happened up there in Hoosick Falls in New York with that Swiss company that makes Teflon coating, how that's gone into the waterways. And it was also poisoned the water around the area. Look what's going on over there at Indian Point at the nuclear power plant that nobody even talks about anymore, with the spill that went into the system. Now, that's great to drink. Kids love it. Helps build the body 12 ways, just like Wonder Bread. Oh, and of course, there's that lead pipe situation over there in Newark, the schools with lead pipes in them. And Flint. How could I forget Flint? That filthy water. Oh, two more people died there of Legionnaire's disease the other day. So water, and it's worldwide, is going to be, to us, one of the greatest treasures to have and to hold. Clean water. Here, front page of today's New York Times. Drought cuts short an African success story. Zambia. Even as drought and the effects of climate change grew visible across the land, the Kariba Dam was always a steady and seemingly limitless source of something rare in Africa. Electricity so cheap and plentiful that Zambia could export some of it to its neighbors. And it goes on, but today, as a severe drought magnified by climate change has cut water levels to record lows, the Kariba is generating so little juice that blackouts have crippled the nation's already hurting businesses. So whether it's drought conditions in the West, droughts throughout Africa, hitting South America, water, and the next one, of course, is clean food. And by the way, I coined that term. The New York Times did a story on that back in 1996, but I coined it in the Trends Journal in 1993. And of course, clean food. It's not only organic, it's brought to market in the most sanitary and healthy ways as well. So when it goes from the farm to the table, it's clean. And just yesterday, for example, a story on pork prices in China and how they're escalating. You know, they eat a lot of pork over there. And prices are skyrocketing. Think about it. They just bought Smithfield Farms, the Chinese. That's America's largest pork producer. About a year and a half, 2 years ago. I forgot exactly when. China's buying up, by the way, dairy land, agriculture. I mean, all over the world to feed their people. Even them owning America's largest pork producer, prices are running very high in China because of a shortage. And this is with, as I said, the Chinese buying up virtually around the world, particularly places like New Zealand and Australia, and now a big move into Canada, particularly from west to east, from Vancouver to Montreal. Vancouver being the first point of destination where they land. So we're going to see a lot more of shortages of clean food and clean water. And again, it's not only, you know, it's all aspects of it. Onto some other news of geopolitical significance. There's been a somewhat of a quieting of the war in Syria, but that's starting to end. And the United States is still intent upon having their leader, who was elected by the people, Assad, to stand down. So the headline today is U.S. plans massive Syria weapons influx if ceasefire collapses. So they're saying that the CIA has drawn up a plan B for the collapse of the peace talks. And you know who they're going to send those weapons to? Quote, moderate rebel factions. You know what moderate rebel factions look like, right? You've seen those moderate rebels everywhere. Nobody knows what they look like. And how moderate are they? Oh, they must be like the moderate rebels that were fighting Gaddafi in Libya that the United States supported to help overthrow the Gaddafi government that are now called Al-Qaeda and ISIS, probably those CIA and Arab League-backed moderate rebels that are destroying one of the most prosperous nations in the Middle East, Syria. So let's suppose we had a vote and direct democracy. Do we, the people who get taxed for war, do we want to send weapons to Syria? And don't give us the line, boys and girls with a bad attitude, that you call yourself defense experts and majors and generals and national security experts. Save your baloney for yourself. Your plan is going to be a failure. The United States already gave $500 million of our dough to this whole scheme once before, and the weapons were taken by, yeah, that other rebel faction, Al-Qaeda, Al-Nusra, Al Capone, ISIS, whatever. And the guys that they gave the weapons to join those forces. So let's have a vote on this. It's our money, and we got a bunch of people that are out of their minds giving our money to murder more people? So let's get this straight. If you give a weapon or weapons to a gang, and you know that gang with those weapons are going to commit murder, are you an accessory to the crime? I would say so. But they're building up, because the reports are coming up that they're also bringing in U.S. B-52 bombers to bomb Syria and Iraq, and that the U.S. Air Force has sent them into the Persian Gulf last week, and they plan to use them for bombing raids on targets in Iraq and Syria. And this is according to the Pentagon. Now, you don't remember those B-52s. They did a beautiful job over Vietnam, raining thousands of bombs at a time on the targets. But of course, now they're saying, well, this time we're using smart bombs. Yeah, anybody that believes the Pentagon's baloney of smart bombs is really stupid. But the spokesman for the Central Command, Lieutenant Colonel Chris Carnes, said, quote, accuracy is critically important in this war. Carpet bombing would not be effective for the operations we're in because ISIS doesn't mass as large groups. Often they blend into population centers. We always look to minimize civilian casualties. Yeah, you guys did a great job in Iraq, man. Lovely in Libya. It's just beautiful in Afghanistan. And they get away with this. And all you liberals, all the liberals, this is why there's no peace movement, because we have Democrats in office. And they're murderers in chief. They're not as bad as the other murderer in chief. Oh, Obama hasn't killed as many people with drones as Bush killed with the Iraq war. Hey, yeah, but what about Obama's troop surge in Afghanistan, 30,000? Yeah, the guy that campaigned as the peace candidate. He's a traitor. Everything he promised, he went back on. Going to close Guantanamo on my first day in office. Folks, by the end of the year, he says, in his first day of office. Close Guantanamo. Peace prize. So, I'm going to take a quick break now. Let me come back in a minute. Sempre pa calare dal mano bene. Se ci picchia bande se è pa calare picchia me. Okay, here we are. So, what else is going on? Well, you know, you heard all these presidential candidates, well, with the exception of Sanders, he didn't go to the AIPAC meeting. Saying that basically anything Israel does, we support them 100%. Well, here's the latest report. Israel's settlement plans more than tripled over the last year. Israeli NGO, non-governmental organization, Peace Now, has issued a new statement warning that Israel's trend toward reducing the size of settlement constructions has been completely reversed, and that the Israeli government plans more than three times as many housing units as this time in 2015. In the first quarter of 2015, Israel approved 194 housing units. In 2016, the number is 674. Over the course of 2015, planning for 1,665 homes moved forward, which was only a fraction of the 8,606 from 2014. This is from antiwar.com. So here's the deal. The United States is undecided on vetoing and whether or not it's going to veto a UN resolution against these West Bank settlements. And this term settlements, what a BS word. That's an Orwellian word if one was ever written. How about occupied territory settlements? Oh, yeah. You know, it's like the settlers going across the desert. Yeah. And then wagon trail, you know, happy trails to you. Yeah, settlements. Stealing land. So it looks like there's going to be a vote coming up in the UN because the Israeli, quote, settlements, which they're not, they're occupied territories, in the West Bank, are illegal under international law. Period, paragraph. And I'm tired of any time you say something against Israel, you're an anti-Semite. How stupid. How stupid and childish. By the way, my last three girlfriends were Jewish. Woo. So, can't blame me for being anti-Semite. Yeah, that's just a way to avoid... It's a way to avoid calling murderers murderers and thieves thieves. The Israeli settlements in the West Bank are illegal under international law. Look how many countries the United States has invaded because they've broken international law. But it's okay when Israel does it. So I'm mentioning this because we're looking at, as we see it, a blow-up in the Middle East. I mentioned to you what's going on in Ukraine and how that's ready to explode now. Look what's going on in Yemen. Look what's going on in Azerbaijan and Armenia. The flare-ups there. Look what's going on with Turkey and its support for the overthrow of Assad in Syria and their incursions into Kurdish territory in Iraq and their war against the Turks, the Kurds. Now I'm mentioning what's going on in the West Bank because that's going to explode. Gaza was destroyed by Israel a number of years ago. They have not recovered from it. When people lose everything and have nothing left to lose, they lose it. And they're losing it around the world. As I said before, direct democracy. Let we the people vote. Pentagon. U.S. airstrikes kill 12 in Somalia. Yeah. Aren't you glad we're down there in Somalia? Yeah, try finding it on the map. Tell me what's going on and why we're there. Well, because here it is. Pentagon officials today claimed about a dozen suspected members. Suspected. You're not convicted of anything. You're suspected of Al-Shabaab were killed in United States airstrikes. And you know why? Because Pentagon spokesman Captain Jeff Davis, maybe a relationship to Goebbels, because anybody that puts out a line like said the targeted militants, quote, pose an imminent threat to U.S. ground troops, position in the area around the Somalia city of Kismayo, quote, assisting the Somali government. Aren't you glad that we're assisting the Somali government? Isn't it great? Posed an imminent threat? What are you doing over there? Come home. Who said you could be there? I don't want my money going there anymore. We, the people, are taxed for peace. We're taxed for war. We pay for war. Would you pay for peace? If the government said, we're going to levy a peace tax so that we can do everything we can to bring peace on earth, rather than a war tax, so we could get the... It's now over $1 trillion when you put it all together, the black budgets and everything else that the Pentagon is spending. How about peace? Not a peep about it. Not a peep. Murder Incorporated. Yeah. That's what they should call America. Murder Inc. I vote for peace. You don't hear any of the candidates on the presidential reality show talking about peace. Again, with direct democracy, get out of Somalia. Don't tell me you're going to be victorious over there. They're losers. When are people going to start calling the military losers rather than saluting them? This government of the United States wasn't built on a foundation after the revolution to have a strong military. They were only there if we were going to be attacked and our lives were threatened, not to go invade other countries. All they've done is caused hatred and murder. I'm voting for peace. And if you are too, please go to OccupyPeace.us and help us do all we can to change the course of war and bring a nation of peace, because with peace comes beauty, dignity, grace, affection, passion, joy, and love. So that's it for this week. This is the Trends This Week. Go to our website, trendsresearch.com, for more information and updates. And we'll see you very soon.